for standing by, and welcome to the DB2 Chat with the Lab series. Before we begin, this is to remind you that if you would like to download the presentation charts, you may get them from www.ibm.com/db2/labchats. That's LABCHATS. And now I'll pass it over to Mr. Sal Vella, Vice President of Development for Distributed Data Servers and Data Warehousing at IBM, to kick off this webinar.
Hi there. I'm very happy to be hosting this DB2 Chat with the Lab. I want to thank everyone for joining us on this call. I also want to thank IDUG, the International DB2 Users Group, for getting the word out for this call. There are about 33 million servers. That's a big number. Across these 33 million servers is 85% idle capacity. Absolutely huge. In fact, 15% of all servers run 24/7 without being actively used on a daily basis. This is crying out for savings and for consolidation. Now, between 2000 and 2010, the number of servers grew 6 times. The storage requirements for those servers grew 69 times. This all points to requirements for more and faster deployments of applications, kind of a speeding up of the need to deploy applications. Data centers have doubled their energy use in the past 5 years. In fact, for some companies and organizations, power requirements are the biggest gates to growth. Again, go back to the idle capacity used and the opportunity to be able to save money and power. Now, all of this is happening while IT budgets are growing less than 1% per year. These facts point to the need for a new way of doing business. And this is the whole premise of the cloud. Get what you need and only pay for what you're using when you need it. And just about every organization I speak with is doing some kind of work in the cloud. What we hear a lot about in the press is the public cloud. And we have many customers using the public cloud totally or using a hybrid approach where some parts of the business, say development and tests, are on public clouds while production is on private clouds. Other clients are moving to the cloud, but only to a private cloud. We've got a large set of offerings from our database as a service, or what we call DBAS, which is focused on the database, to the IBM Workload Deployer, or IWD, which is focused on a platform of DB2, WebSphere Application Server, and other software. And that will be the topic of this chat with the labs. So as more and more businesses look for ways to reduce costs within IT, the research typically discovers cloud computing. However, public clouds are not an option for many enterprise workloads and applications with strict security and privacy requirements. Organizations with such needs can benefit from building private clouds with their own data centers. In this webcast, we'll look at a fast path to deploying private clouds for database workloads. And we'll specifically look at an instant provisioning of DB2 systems and databases in a private cloud infrastructure using the IBM Workload Deployer, IWD, which was previously called the WebSphere Cloud Burst Appliance. And we'll look at how IWD can easily be used for implementing complete web application patterns with web service, application servers, and WebSphere and DB2 database servers with high availability options. The speakers for today's chat with the lab are Leon Kempf-Nelson, the program director, responsible for the IM Cloud Computing Center of Competence and for Mandalorian. Rav Ahuja, who's on Leon's team, focused on cloud computing, emerging technologies, and growth markets, and Chris Gruber, the product manager for the technology. Many thanks again, and enjoy the presentation.
Well, thank you, Sal. This is Leon Katznelson speaking, and as Sal was just saying, joining me on this webcast will be Chris Gruber. And we also have here in the room Leon Petrozikis, who is our chief developer for the images and some of the other capabilities that we're delivering on the cloud. So, next slide, please. What I'd like to do up front is to spend a few minutes on getting our terminology correct on what cloud computing is and how we discuss cloud computing, what are the different aspects of the cloud computing we're going to talk about. So the next slide, please. Slide number five. Cloud computing is very often described as a new and emerging technology. Truth be told, cloud computing is really not about technology at all. It's first and foremost a user experience and a business model that are changing in here. Cloud computing is really based on a self-service delivery model. It's a self-service delivery model that relieves the IT personnel from having to deal with manual repetitive tasks associated with provisioning and managing resources, and allows them to focus on more important things. It does deliver the economies of scale, and most important is the flexibility of the sourcing options for the IT resources. Next chart, please, chart number 6. So instead of providing my own definition of what cloud computing is, I picked the one from NIST, which is a National Institute for Standards and Technology. And they've authored the paper, the link to which you can see at the bottom of the chart. And it's very concise, and it's very easy to understand. It's only a couple of pages. They really look at the cloud computing from a number of facets, and one of them is, what are the essential characteristics of the cloud computing? And in there, they address 5 essential characteristics. So as I mentioned before, the fact that this is on demand and it's a self-service is probably the key aspect of cloud computing. Obviously, it is something that is delivered. It's the IT resources and applications delivered over the network. So ability to have a broad and readily available network access is absolutely essential. Cloud computing is really based around the idea of resource sharing or resource pooling. It's a central aspect to the cloud. That's where the cost savings come from. That's also where a lot of the agility comes from. And speaking of agility, the way it is described typically in the conversations around cloud computing is in terms of elasticity. Those of us who are working in a traditional IT environment are probably used to the idea of scalability. Elasticity is very similar in principle to what we describe as scalability, which is ability to be able to deliver the same level of performance as the workload amounts increase. Elasticity really looks at it from both sides, which is ability to have resources on demand to deliver the same level of performance, but also to be able to return resources to the shared pool where those resources are no longer required to deliver the proper level of performance. And with this goes the idea of a measured service. Basically, the idea of having to pay or needing to pay only for resources that you've used, not the resources you may have wanted to use, and also only for the time that you've used them for. Next slide, please, slide 7. The other aspect that NIST deals with is the service models, and there are 3 in there. I've listed them over here. One is called infrastructure as a service. That's the model we really are going to focus on in this webcast, and that's the one that we focus on DB2 the most. It's the model where we are talking about the raw compute capacity, which is compute cycles, storage, and networking being provided on demand in the cloud. Platform as a service adds to that middleware and allows you to build, abstracts the raw compute resources away from the builder or provider of the application, but you are still needing to build the application yourself. And last but not least is the model, the service model that's probably most familiar to people. It's a software as a service. And usually when I mention Salesforce.com, people readily understand what that software as a service means. So Salesforce.com, for those of you who don't know, deliver CRM, customer relationship management capability, as a service, which frees the enterprises from having to provision and procure the hardware, install and patch the software, and keep maintaining that. The application is delivered as a monthly service to the employees in the company. There are no IT systems required in the company to deliver to receive the service. Slide number 8, please. Hand in hand with the other models comes the delivery model, and In here, we're talking about how are these capabilities are delivered. Now, we do have a, in general, the premise of the cloud computing has become very popular, and many of the people are liking the idea that there's a shared pool of resources from which they can obtain the capacity and demand. But they may be, at times are concerned about the security and privacy of the data or the loss of control. So this is why there are multiple delivery models that are available, and they range all the way from enterprise private cloud to shared public cloud. Underlying all of these delivery models is the fundamental principle that the clouds are based on, which is resource sharing. The difference is who are the resources shared with. So in the model of where you have the public cloud, it is the public cloud provider, a company like Amazon or IBM or Rackspace or Savvis or others, creates the resource pool in their own data centers, typically located in different points around the world, and then rent in that resource pool, they procure, for the resource pool, they procure the servers, networking capacity, storage, and so on, and then rent it out to people who come in, typically just with a credit card, and that's what constitutes their customer base. On the other hand, on the other end of the scale, we have private clouds. Again, it's shared resources, but in here, these resources are located in the data center that is operated and staffed and managed by the enterprise or organization itself. And the services that are delivered by that organization out of that data center from those pool of resources are delivered for the benefit, the exclusive benefit of the organization itself. Those are the basic differences. There are variations in the model, and one of the variations that is becoming quite popular is where you establish a private cloud and then have the capability to grab extra capacity as needed from a public cloud. And this is something that is referred to as the hybrid cloud. Chart 9, please. When speaking about the clouds, every conversation typically starts with around the cost. So there are many reasons for people to consider the cloud, but cost is the favorite initial driver, specifically cost reduction of IT, is the favorite initial driver. And one of the interesting observations that many of us who are intimately involved in cloud computing have made, and I think it's been very succinctly put together by Martin Mikas yesterday in a tweet that he did, and Martin is the former CEO of MySQL and a current CEO of a Eucalyptus, a cloud company. In his view, he said that customers come to the cloud for the cost, but they come out appreciating the agility. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing in all of our conversations with people who have embarked on the path to the cloud, is agility is really the key, it becomes the key benefit that people get to appreciate that may have not considered as much at the beginning of their journey. Specific examples are in the development and test environments. People find that the agility that the cloud provides is delivering the resources that are very much constrained for test tasks, for example, and allows people to achieve results in improving the quality of the software that they're delivering, the quality of the applications they're providing to their users, significantly when using the cloud. There are many other reasons for people to pursue the cloud, but as I said, I think it's best summarized as you come for the cost and you walk away with the agility. Chart 10, please. To deliver these benefits to our customers, to you, the DB2 users, we have embarked on a strategy, and it's a long-term strategy, and we consider that strategy to be based on four pillars. It's not a strategy of technology alone, though technology does play a very important part. And we call this a DB2 to have a cloud-ready technology. Obviously, virtualization is the key component of any cloud deployment or any cloud enablement we have. And DB2 has a very long and very successful history in virtualization. We continue to enhance these capabilities, and we have demonstrated repeatedly, both alone and with our partners, on using various hypervisors that provide virtualization, that the impact of DB2 running in virtualized environments, be that OLTP, warehousing, or mixed workloads, is very minimal. In many cases, it's in all of the cases, it's a single percentage point. In many cases, it's 2 to 4% impact. What is also very important for people deploying cloud technologies is the multi-tenancy. Whether you are talking about private cloud or a public cloud, an IT organization delivering private cloud capability is delivering that capability for multiple constituents in the organization. And DB2 has, for a long time, has delivered multi-tenancy implementations that are integral to DB2 itself. Some of the examples of that is ability to create virtually unlimited number of instances of DB2 on a single machine, be that virtual machine or physical server. Each one of those DB2 instances can have up to 256 discrete and separate databases. And what's really exciting is each one of those databases can have up to 32,000 schemas that provide complete separation of concern between the data for multiple clients or multiple tenants. We've delivered, and you're going to hear this today, database as a service. And what we've also made sure is when we speak, especially when we're speaking about the multi-tenancy, a shared nature of the service, that we tie this into the workload management capability of both the operating system and a hypervisor as well as the DB2 itself to make sure that the multiple users, multiple tenants of your service are not impacting each other. So this is a very brief overview of the cloud-ready technologies, and I'm not really doing justice in here to that. But what we've also done is we recognize the importance of the business terms and licensing terms for providing the solution. So when it comes to virtualization, as I mentioned, we support various virtualization technologies. Unlike some of our competitors, we don't force you into one specific one or cut support for any particular virtualization technology. We do test and certify most of the popular virtual hypervisors. We also provide the capability to acquire our products, DB2 specifically and others, on both the traditional pricing model and a pricing model that's very aligned with the cloud, which is consumption-based pricing model. And we have enablement for very specific workloads in the cloud. So when we're speaking about the openness and the ability to support multiple virtualization layers, we're also talking about not just different hypervisors, we're also talking about different delivery models for the cloud, be that private cloud, hybrid cloud, or public cloud. We have offerings for all of those. At the same time, we don't force you into one particular vendor. So IBM, for example, is a vendor of the cloud, public cloud technologies, as well as the private cloud technologies, but we do support many others, and we have very strong partnerships with RightScale, Amazon, and others in this space. And last but not least, we do understand that there is a hesitation and risk to embark on a new and different way of doing things, and there is a strong requirement to reduce that risk. So to do that, we have put together a strategy and resources to make sure that the risk that you have is minimized. One of the examples of this strategy and resources is our Cloud Computing Center of Competence. And if there was one thing that I would like everybody to take away from this webcast, if there was only one thing, I would say please do engage us at the Cloud Computing Center of Competence. It's very easy to do. All you do is just send an email to imcloud@ca.ibm.com. Our services are free. This is not a professional services organization. We're here to help you be successful with DB2 on the cloud. Chart 11, please. So this chart really summarizes some of the different capabilities we do bring to the cloud. As I mentioned in the previous chart, we do have full enablement for the IBM Smart Cloud Enterprise and make DB2 available on that cloud. We do have that availability. As I said, we do have pricing methodology and a capability to get both consumption-based pricing where you can get it per hour, or you can just bring your licenses that you already have into the IBM Smart Cloud. We do exactly the same thing in the Amazon Cloud, which is quite popular, and we have enjoyed a great popularity. DB2 has enjoyed great popularity on both of those clouds. Today, though, we're going to be talking about the private cloud deployment, and I've highlighted two types of deployments in here. One is with the rightscale.com. This is a partner of ours where we have published a number of templates and scripts and capabilities delivered through the rightscale.com for deployment to private clouds as well as public cloud and hybrid cloud environments. But the star of the webcast today is really the IBM Workload Deployer. These are new capabilities we're delivering. We have some of you may be familiar with these capabilities. In the past, we called it WCA, or WebSphere Cloudburst Appliance. As of June the 15th, we have delivered and renamed, we've delivered the new version of this. It's version 3.0, and it is now being renamed into the IBM Workload Deployer. With this appliance, we do provide DB2, we call them hypervisor images. We do provide DB2 as a service, as a new capability. And we've also included the IBM Optim developer and administrator tools for you to use with the appliance. Chart 12, please. So this provides a fairly good transition for me to talk about some of the benefits in here when we talk about the private cloud computing. So you can see from this chart, and it's probably not a surprise to most of you, is that capital expense associated with equipment continues to be on a steady pace. It is really not increasing at any dramatic rate, but it is a significant portion of the overall IT spend. What we are seeing is that the cost of energy, but probably more important, the cost of running the system, are escalating, and they're escalating a lot faster than the cost of the equipment itself. And these are all three of these aspects is what the cloud computing aims to address. Chart 13, please. When we look at the cloud computing and the resource allocation, you can really draw the comparison between the traditional, what I would call a project-based model, and a model where we talk about the private cloud. As you would expect in a traditional project-based model, we do create a dedicated capacity, and that capacity, IT capacity, is allocated per particular project. As such, when we do the planning for the project, we allocate, we plan for what we believe to be the peak capacity, and then we also add some additional, let's call it the fudge factor, additional resources to accommodate peaks and have a little bit of room to spare. Not only that, we always have to look forward to what the projected growth may be. So as we do that, we constantly increase the amount of resources we put forward in this towards a particular project or an application. As a result, we end up with IT resources that are grossly over-allocated for a good reason, but they are over-allocated, and the utilization of resources is becoming very low. As a matter of fact, all surveys that have been done, both by IBM and consultants, indicate that a typical utilization, survey utilization, is single digits, well below 10%. In an environment such as test and development, it's usually 2 to 3%. Not only is this driving a low utilization rate, but it's also producing excessive energy costs. Even when our servers are not functioning at their full capacity, they are powered on. And as they're powered on, so is the storage, so is the networking. All of these are consuming electricity. All of these are consuming cooling capacity, which again drives the electricity demand for more electricity. Our energy bills are escalating out of control. So not only are we over-budgeting on the capacity, on the IT capacity itself, we're overspending on the variable costs, such as energy. If you were to compare this against a private cloud, those specific attributes are almost entirely eliminated. Instead of providing dedicated resources, we're now looking at a shared pool of resources, and our planning is concentrated around the steady state. We're able to accommodate growth and the steady state workloads because we're able to amortize all of the resources across the entire pool of all of the projects or many of the projects in the company that we do. Our server utilization rates come way down, and they stay down. Not only that, the number of servers, the amount of resource is significantly reduced. And that drives down very significantly energy demands. Chart number 14, please. Many of our customers believe that the cloud may be ways away from them, where in reality, they're pretty close to, they're already on the path of moving to the cloud. And if you look at the staircase towards the cloud, you'll quickly realize that it's a process that starts with consolidation of equipment and virtualization that go hand in hand. There's also the standardization factor. And most of the customers I talk to, it's very difficult right now to find a client who has not embarked on the road to virtualization and consolidation. Most people do that. So the next step to the cloud is really about automation. That's where you see a lot of the benefits. Chart 15, please. So this chart illustrates very quickly what automation really delivers to you. It really delivers the last leg of the move to the cloud. It compresses the schedules and removes the effort from having to procure and provision and make functional your IT equipment. From months, from typical 2 to 4 months, and I've heard higher numbers, of having to get of needing to get the equipment for a particular project, the schedules can be compressed to days and sometimes hours, because most of the work is done upfront when creating the private cloud, when creating the standardized images, when creating the standardized processes. It's the cost that's incurred once and then reused, and the benefit is accrued over many, many projects. Chart 16, please. So at this point in time, I'd like to put the focus on a particular example, which is the IBM Workload Deployer and how DB2 fits into the world of the IBM Workload Deployer. Number 17, please. When we talk about the IBM Workload Deployer, we often describe it as the vending machine for IT. And if you build an image in your mind of a vending machine, what you have in it is, you know, snacks and drinks and so on. Now transpose this image onto the IT and think of the replacement of the sugary snacks and drinks being replaced by the middleware and being able to deploy that middleware onto your private cloud. That's really what the IBM Workload Deployer is about. So when we talk about the vending machine, what is stocked in it, the components or the products that you purchase from it, there's a similar component in the Workload Deployer, which is the catalog. And catalog is a central component of every cloud, whether you use IBM Workload Deployer, private cloud, or public cloud. In that catalog, we have stocked it with the IBM middleware, and specifically, we have stocked it with three types of DB2 assets. One of them is the DB2 images, which are the images of the complete DB2 virtual machine that you can now deploy onto your private cloud. We also have stocked it with pre-configured and pre-tested hardened topologies which represent your complete IT systems. And we've done something new this time around. We've included a new capability called workload pattern. But in this presentation, that's what we're really going to talk about. So next chart, please. Chart number 18. So the three pieces that we have standardized on when we talk about this managed middleware deployment is images, topologies, and workloads. And the best way to think about them is images is complete virtual machine that is saved in its current state that is now able for redeployment many times over. A topology is best understood to be a system, a collection of virtual machines, which are all tied together to perform as a single system. And a workload removes the notion of having virtual machines and really starts to look at database and other services as a service. For each one of those, what we have delivered is the hardened images, hardened topologies, and pre-configured and pre-tested workloads. And this is what that we're going to talk about next. Chart number 20, please. Or 19, sorry. What you see on the screen right now is the very first screen that you would see when you log on to the IBM Workload Deployer, and it describes the four-step process of getting your private cloud built and deployed. The first step in this process is, and I cannot emphasize this enough, is a need to get the IBM Workload Deployer itself purchased and configured. IBM Workload Deployer is a physical appliance, as you've seen in the previous chart. It's a physical appliance that needs to be deployed in your data center. It needs to be configured with the knowledge and understanding of what your private cloud resources are. So the configuration is really a description of the resources you have on the cloud. You provide that to the Workload Deployer so it is aware of what resources you bring to bear for its deployment. Step number two is really creation of those virtualized resources and the hardware deployment. Step number three is where we really move towards the software, and this is where we talk about the organization of your catalog. Now, IBM ships the catalog on the IBM Workload Deployer, which is already stocked with a number of products. We also make additional products available to be put into your catalog via download. You retain full control of what products from that catalog you make available to your users. So this is really what this is organizing the catalog, organizing the images and patterns is all about. You'll also notice in here there's a statement about the licenses. So let's move to chart number 20. So IBM Workload Deployer Cloud is what we would refer to as bring your own hardware cloud. And this is important, very important point. I'm going to repeat it several times. When you're purchasing the IBM Workload Deployer, you're not purchasing cloud resources where your applications and DB2 will run. You are just purchasing and deploying a distribution point, a management point. You do need to deploy your own hardware resources into the cloud. These hardware resources at this point in time can be Intel and AMD x86 and x64 based, running hypervisors such as VMware. These resources can be IBM Power Systems running Power VM as a hypervisor, or these system resources can be IBM System Z running Z Linux. Next chart, please. So this is chart 21, and it summarizes the new capabilities we've delivered in this version 3.0 of the IBM Workload Deployer. And they're very quickly summarized in this is about patterns and images, and Chris is going to talk shortly about the workload patterns. But when it comes to images and patterns, we do have brand new images. They're at refreshed levels with the newer levels of the operating system. We, for the first time, we actually delivered images for the AIX operating system. Our new images and patterns are also fully enabled for high availability deployments, so HADR, high availability disaster recovery clustering. And one of the very popular requests is automatic license management. As you probably appreciate it, when you allocate licenses on demand, you want to be able to have a management structure where you're not spending all your time managing those licenses. So you now have the appliance managing the licenses for you on an ongoing basis. So addition or subtraction of the licenses as new instances get queued up or decommissioned. Next chart, please. Chart 22. So I mentioned the images already several times, and what you see in here is an example of a catalog of images on the IBM Workload Deployer. You see right off the bat that there are three images on this in this catalog. If you do not see the image you like or want, please do contact imcloud@ca.ibm.com, and we may build one for you. You can also build one yourself, and that's actually very easy to do. You just take one of our images, create a running instance of DB2 from it, modify it just the way you like it, save it back to the appliance, and it becomes your image. You'll see on the other side in here, on the right-hand side of the slide, that there are many details about each one of the images. You know, we talk about the version numbers, the operating system that is part of this image. It also talks about the parts, which are IBM part numbers, that you need to check if you have licenses for them. If you do, great, you can activate them. If you don't, you can purchase the licenses. But you do need to activate the licenses. That's a very important step. Next chart, please. Chart 22. This is a quick view of what the anatomy of the image is. So as I mentioned before, each image contains the operating system itself, and this is why you need to procure the operating system. So in this particular case, it's SUSE, Linux Enterprise Server. We now have published images for Red Hat as well. You did not see them in a catalog, but you can now download them from our website. The image also contains the DB2, which is a hardened image of DB2. It means Leon's has spent a considerable amount of time configuring it for the best practices and a secure minimal footprint of the image. Obviously, you're going to want to modify it and tune it to your requirements. And on the bottom of the chart, you see an example of how the licenses get enforced and tracked and managed for you. Chart number 24, please. So I mentioned that we do have a topologies, or we will call them topology patterns, available on the appliance, and we have highlighted about five in here for you. As you will see in here, some of the topologies are fairly simple ones, which involve a single server. Some of the topologies are more complex, and it may be configuring a highly available cluster of DB2 servers. Yet other topologies may be configuring a more complete system that you can deploy, which include maybe a cluster of WebSphere servers and a highly available cluster of DB2 servers. You, again, just as with images, if you don't see something you like and you would like to create, would like us to create one for you, do send us an email at imcloud@ca.ibm.com. Or just as with images, you can modify them. On the top right-hand corner, you will see there's a little icon for copying. It has kind of like two sheets of paper. So you can copy any of the topologies and modify them just the way you like them. And you'll see at the bottom of the screenshot is graphical representation of these topologies. It's very important to point out that topologies are not just dark, you know, black boxes. They actually provide a complete connectivity between, for example, different DB2 servers and WebSphere servers. So it's complete configuration in here. When you deploy one of those, it is a working, hardened configuration. Next chart, please. 25. So at this point in time, what we have covered is the overview of the IBM Workload Deployer. You understand that a first step is really getting the IBM Workload Deployer appliance itself, configuring it up, letting it know about the configuration of the resources you have in the cloud. Then you're going to look at your catalog that you have, in a catalog of images or catalog of patterns. You can decide which ones you like, which ones would you like to make available to your users, which ones you don't want to make available to users. You can decide which ones you're going to customize, and you will customize them, and save them back to the appliance. But what we haven't talked about, and that's what Chris is going to talk about next, is a brand new capability we have delivered, which is the workload pattern. Those are the patterns that really are not based on individual servers or collection of servers, but are rather based on delivery of the services. So at this point in time, Chris, the floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you very much. On slide 25, you're going to see the workload patterns, and we've preloaded, while you can add pattern types, we also have preloaded a couple workload patterns for you on the appliance. And effectively, the workload pattern is a method that can reduce total cost of ownership by streamlining management the components comprising of that particular workload. And on our next slide, we'll talk about one of the first workload patterns that are available on the IBM Workload Deployer. It's the pattern for web applications. And this deployment provides the ability to provision and manage the application server and the web caching capacity for your web apps. It can be pre-configured with the connectivity to existing DB2 LUW or DB2 ZOS servers that are not currently part of the cloud. So effectively, what you're able to do is provide that front-end application environment to existing DB2 high-performance environments that you've already established in your IT data center. And of course, that is one thing that has some high value because you've got these systems already set up, and I'm assuming that there's a fair number of people in the audience that have current DB2 environments in their data center. Now, the web app pattern sort of falls into the application group kind of construct. If I was to describe IT and how it's generally broken into groups, there's the application group and the operations group. And while I'm generalizing here, hopefully you'll provide me a little bit of leniency, because when you look at the nature of how these groups work together, we think that there can be an increased synergy between the two groups. When you look at what the applications group is targeting for, is building new applications to support new business requirements, trying to maintain competitiveness for the business. And what they need is an environment to do that type of work. And so obviously they're going to make requests for the operations group to provide that environment. They will have some roles that are different between within the application group, application DBAs, application developers, perhaps application administrators. And they could effectively use that appliance that Leon alluded to in the IBM Workload Deployer to do self-service. And if they can empower that application group to do that that model, the database as a service will really bear fruit. And so that was one of our goals in developing our database as a service technology that is socialized in the pattern that I'm going to be talking about shortly. A little bit more about the operations group. Their goal is really, trying to do more with less, and service many systems, application requirements, and they're often dealing with a lot of the rudimentary provisioning of systems. And so, if their goal is to reduce costs and do more with less, cloud being one of the ways to do that. The approach there is to reduce operational costs. And if you remember, Leon's server cost chart, there's a large portion of management costs in that. So if we can really tackle that cost, I think the goals that the operations group can be well served. But one of the things that they would like to be able to do is being able to abstract the back end and just simply provide the environment for the applications group and do that in a consistent, repeatable fashion, because when you move away from that consistency and repetition, then it becomes a bit more difficult to support, and of course that means costs go up. So we've talked a little bit about the apps groups and with respect to the pattern and the web app pattern that's, you know, is really geared towards that group. I'd like to introduce on this call is the pattern for database applications, which really, you know, socializes our database as a service technology. And this product is geared to deliver self-service deployment and management for DB2. And we'll be deploying onto a private virtual cloud. The infrastructure would be Red Hat, VMware, ESX type of deployment. The goal here is to really serve really well test and development use cases, as well as departmental OLTP use cases in the private cloud. We think that's a pretty good sweet spot for that particular environment. And when I refer to self-service management, we're looking at being able to provide the application group a means to deploy a database through a simple paradigm, provisioning databases and backups through either the GUI on the browser of the appliance or a RESTful API, which in some cases our IT groups tend to like scripting. So we offer both styles. One of the key things to this product is that it allows the operations group to deploy both DB2 and Oracle style deployments. And the ability to wire the database into the web infrastructure. So going back to the web app pattern, we offer an ability to integrate with that pattern quite easily. And we'll actually demo that as well. The appliance also includes Optum Development Studio and Optum Database Administrator, of course, for the test and development use case, because you probably want to be able to connect from your client to client tools into the deployed database from the IBM Workflow Deployer. On slide 29, we're looking at a view of effectively how you would create a database pattern for deployment. And the goal here is to really simplify the aspects of deployment for operations or application group. And I cite both groups because it really depends on the culture of IT, whether they will allow the application group to create patterns. Certainly the operations group can create patterns, but there might be a case where the application groups would be allowed to create patterns. And effectively what we're doing here is asking a few simple questions to that particular role as to what you need for a database, how big the database is in terms of user data, the type of style of application. Are you going to need the Oracle compatibility or the DB2 style of applications, and, of course, the schema that you might decide to provide on deployment. So with that, once that pattern is created, that pattern then can be deployed in a repeatable and consistent basis using IBM's best practices for DB2 deployment. So effectively, we are deploying the operating system, sending the database server down, instantiating the database server, creating the database, applying the SQL script, locking down the environment, both the operating system and database server, applying some best practices in terms of flavoring the database. We're also sizing the deployment based on what you've asked for with respect to the database size. And we're using that based on DB2's engineering best practices for a given type of sizing. So from an operations group, you are looking at a peace of mind that you can obtain knowing that you're backed by IBM in their research to, upon this deployment. And that gives you the comfort level of being able to sort of say to the applications group, here's a pattern, proceed to deploy. And that comfort level is should not be underestimated. Now, going back to the application group view of the world, when you are looking at building an app, you're going to be identifying which pieces of technology you need to support that application. In the web app pattern, you're able to establish the components that are needed, so a user directory, perhaps a messaging server, maybe a certain type of scaling policy for a given application, perhaps some VM memory management policies that you'd need, and of course, the database. And so this really simplifies the architecture view of the web app, and the appliance actually supports this kind of construct. Now, hopefully in the demo you'll be able to take a look at how we're actually going to be able to build this, but here's a broader view of that kind of model. You can see on the left-hand side the components that you can add to your application. You can add existing databases, existing DB2 databases, or if you select a brand new database to be provisioned on your behalf, you'll see that we have wired our database as a service into the web app pattern as well. And so the same type of questions that the simplicity of deploying a standalone database is also available in deploying your web app pattern as well. So we've integrated quite well in that paradigm. And of course, you can point the web app pattern to the existing DB2 servers that you have in your data center. One of the things I find pretty compelling about this product is that for the first time ever, the operations group with a single skill set can support multiple application styles. And obviously, many of our customers are heterogeneous in nature. With the application needs, there's an Oracle need in many shops, and of course DB2. So with a single skill set, our operations group can support the deployment for multiple styles of applications. And I think that's pretty compelling, and it certainly will drive down operational costs when provisioning your platform as a service. I'd just like to take you through sort of my mind's eye of how, the synergy between the two groups work together. On slide 33, we see the traditional model going through a timeline across the screen here. As the arrows go across, you'll see, how the time is spent. And so in the traditional model, you have the applications group requesting a database. And if, in all likelihood, the operations group then will look at, what kind of hardware. If there's not hardware, we have to go procure it. Once you have the hardware, then you have to install the operating system. If you're doing high availability solutions, you're going to have to do it twice. And then once you get the operating system, you're installing the database server with the assumption that you've already got the database server licenses already procured. And then you install the server, configure it, lock the server down. And eventually, when you all get it all locked down and set up, then you go back to the app group with the connectivity information and say, here you go, here's the users that you need, and here's the connectivity aspects to the database server. And then the applications group then proceeds to develop for the new business requirements that they've been asked. So you can see that the green arrow is rather lengthy in time in the traditional deployment. And when you're looking at the nature of how long the application group is focusing on business, there's not a huge arrow on the blue right-hand side. So in the database as a service deployment model with this paradigm, we are looking at, again, there might be two different models here, actually. One where the culture allows the application group to actually create the pattern, and then there may be the case where the operations group might need to create the pattern. In any case, you're going to see a larger focus on the business. So in the middle set of arrows, you're going to see the application group, again, requesting a database pattern. And then the operations group, because it is much simpler to deploy the database and create the pattern, we're dealing with a lot smaller of a green arrow there, so that time spent, in fact, I could make it smaller, but then the text would actually go outside the arrow. So the text is actually why the arrow is so big. And then they can return back to the operations group for the deployment of the database. And the applications group then has a greater time spent on focusing on the business and delivering real value to the business. In the case of, where the culture allows the applications group to actually create and deploy a pattern, there is no real wait time. They're able to get that created quickly, deployed, and the real focus is on the business, and that's where there's arguably the greatest degree of synergy. So I'm going to take you through the actual creation of a pattern. Most of the screenshots will allude to what we're going to be doing here. So I'm going to share my screen and proceed to show you what the IBM Workload Deployer does from a usage perspective here. So I'm hopefully able to show you the screen. We're logged in currently as the administrator or the operations group. Within the deployers, you'll see the welcome screen of the deployer. And we're going to quickly create a pattern because it's already preloaded onto the appliance. And we're going to click on Database Patterns and proceed to create a pattern. So I'm going to click on the plus button here. That's the new pattern. And we're able to be presented with a dialog. We're going to create a purchase order application database. And we'll proceed to provide a size for the deployment. We'll select the Oracle style of compatibility. We'll choose a SQL file for the PO. And we'll just save that up. So we describe the usage of the database that we expect to deploy. Now, I'm going to switch or toggle over as the application group user and go and view our database patterns here. Oops, I actually forgot something. For our PO system, we are going to provide the database, the application user's permissions to deploy. So there's a function of permissions here. Not a free-for-all, of course. And we'll create the app user, and we'll also grant myself permissions to deploy that database. Now, switching back into the application group user, you're going to see the PO system now show up as a pattern. And when I select that particular pattern, I can get some details on what it is. It looks like this particular application will serve, or particular database will serve my application. So if I click on the deploy button here, we're able to uh, provide a database for the application, and if I had several groups on cloud, I would be able to deploy to a particular group based on the configuration of IBM Workload Deployer. Now, if I go into the deployment, actually the appliance will report back the deployment policies and status, so you can see some of the, you know, this particular web app pattern is actively running. I also have a PO system actively running and a MyDB. If I click on that particular deployment or database instance after I've deployed, I, as a, an application user or application group user, I can get connectivity details for the database, so I can implement that into my application. And of course, that is pretty key to my application, of course. We also have a database service console. When you click on that particular icon, you'll be able to do backups. So the applications group and the operations group would be able to do backups, so self-service backup, and, of course, update the configuration of the connectivity. Now, going back to the operations group, I wanted to point out the fact that we are able to create a virtual application, and I just wanted to show you the fact that the web app pattern is well integrated with the database pattern of use. And so, obviously, a web app pattern in many cases needs to include a database in the deployment, and so we support that certainly. So I'm going to create a new one here just to give you an idea of how quickly you can set up the environment. And so I'm going to be able to just drag a enterprise application server in there. You can see that I can set up policies, routing policies, log policies, and we're also able to select the database components as well. So I'm able to quickly drag either the database pattern, which follows the database as a service, or connect to existing databases in your data center. So I'm going to just drag the database pattern onto my palette here and proceed to connect the two components. And you'll see that when I select the database, the same kind of prompts, the same simplicity approach with the web app pattern is presented to me within the palette here. So the idea is that we're moving our databases closer to the application group, increasing the synergy between the two groups, and hopefully delivering more value to the business. So I'm going to just stop sharing here and proceed to go back to the slides. For what it's worth, folks, we have a recorded version on Channel DB2 that was posted this morning. So if you are not able to see it on this particular screen, I would encourage you to go to Channel DB2, and we take you through the demo on YouTube as well. Let me just reposition myself here. Just going back to slide 35, we'd just like to reemphasize some of the benefits that of this approach with Database as a Service and the IBM Workload Deployer. First of all, we're able to really help our IT group focus on the business and empower the application group to do that without being caught up with some of the traditional behaviors that we've had in the past. Additionally, with the systems group, we're able to reduce data center costs. And Leon alluded to the fact that, you know, we're enabled to leverage the consolidation of hardware assets, being able to deliver repeatable, consistent deployments, and drive down those major costs that affect the overall IT costs with server management and spending. Finally, you're able to create and destroy databases. I didn't actually show you how to quickly destroy a database, but as quickly as you can create a database, you can destroy it. So in a test dev environment, when you want to clean up your test environment, it is very, very quickly done, and those resources are sent back into the cloud, leveraging that pool for other uses and within your organization. And of course, you're benefiting really truly from the standardization, which allows our operations group to do more with less. And of course, in these economic times, that is pretty important. So I just wanted to share some things that we've heard when we were doing our tech preview with this technology back in November. And whether you're hearing a technical slant of the communication or more business slant, it's really interesting where people are trying to do more with less. And you know, from a technical perspective, you might be kind of geeky in some ways to sort of say, I want a DB2 farm or I want a DB2 on demand or a DB2 hotel. What you're talking about really is effectively trying to support your application more efficiently through the use of consolidation and repeatable solutions. On the other side, you know, from a more business perspective, you might be, you know, describing we need to lower energy costs, or you know, our deployments are taking too long. We're not cleaning up our test dev environments properly, and ultimately, again, it's going about trying to reduce costs and making things repeatable. And ultimately, you know, we want to get out of the role of doing something relatively mundane in nature. We can work smarter. Let's get our technical people thinking about the business instead. And really, that's what, you know, people are wanting to say without actually saying it outright. So that's something that I think the database as a service paradigm really provides. And hopefully, if you're looking at a private cloud, you can benefit from that through the IBM Workload Deployer. So a few of the last points I'd like to make, if you're to walk away from this presentation, I hope you are taking away the following. We are delivering a lower cost approach, and the way we're doing that is we're delivering best practices for repeated and consistent secure deployment of database technology. We're trying to automate these types of deployments as much as possible to reduce the operational costs upon deployment. And we're really trying to increase the synergy between the operations and applications group by empowering the application group and provide lower costs through that empowerment. So with that being said, I'm going to switch over. I know there's a question on the webinar about the IAM cloud at ca.ibm.com. So I'm going to just leave that this particular slide up and open the call up for questions and answers. So I'm going to pass this back to the operator. And, of course, there's some additional resources that you can view and learn about with private cloud on this slide. So hopefully the folks on the webinar and the questions and answers can see the IAM cloud at ca.ibm.com for additional questions and feedback. So, operator?
Yes, sir. If anyone would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then 1. You will be prompted to unmute your phone and record your name, as your name is required to introduce your question. Once again, star 1 if you have a question.
Operator, I did see a question on the webinar here. The question is, does the IBM Workload Deployer also work with InfoSphere Warehouse, the DB2 Warehouse Edition? Leon, did you want me to take that?
It's all right. I can answer it. So
when I was so when we talk about the images, I the charts that I had indicated that if you don't see an image that you like or you don't see a pattern that you like, that you just give us a call or send an email to imcloud@ca.ibm.com. And this happens to be one of those that a lot of people are asking for. So yes, we're very interested in building that capability. If some of you would like to see that. So if you are interested in having that capability delivered, send an email to the imcloud@ca.ibm.com. The other point I wanted to make, and Chris illustrated that, is you can take existing private cloud capability and deploy portions of your applications in the cloud and then connect to your existing bare metal implementations of DB2. So you could use IWD deployed private cloud capability for example, WebSphere resources and have the DB2 warehouse or InfoSphere warehouse be the one that you're already using on premises today. So that's an option as well. But keep those requests coming because we really would like to know what are the things that you're looking for to make available on the cloud. We, by the way, have made InfoSphere Warehouse available on a public cloud to several of our customers and partners. So we do that as part of the work that we do.
There's another question on the webinar. The question is around, this seems to be targeted to small and medium-sized business that don't have robust operating system middleware and support areas. Is this correct? And I'll take that one, Leon, since you took the first one. I would say that I wouldn't shoehorn this into an SMB kind of environment. It can apply to it, I suppose, but I think that when you look at the nature of the enterprise and the way applications are deployed, I actually thought there was a slide in here that actually is a really good one, so perhaps maybe we should add it. But when you look at the nature of the applications deployed, there's going to be about 20% are Tier 1 applications that are going to be, you know, have a team of IT people watching and treating it and caring for it to make sure that it's optimal and its performance. But when you look at the other 80% of applications in the enterprise, departmental, test dev, where the server utilization is not necessarily close to being used, I think, Leon, you mentioned something around the 2% range, those are the real places where we can actually save on costs through the consolidation and virtualization and automation of the cloud. So I would say that the enterprise use case within those types of departmental OLTP and test dev can really serve the enterprise well. So hopefully I answered that particular question on the webinar, and I think it certainly should be looked at from an enterprise perspective.
Yeah, actually, I just wanted to add something to what Chris just said because I think it's bang on. Those of you who are DBAs, ask yourself a question. How often are you getting requests to create a test data set or a test system for your users, for your application developers? And that will be a very good answer that says, if you're getting a lot of those requests, cloud's not a bad way to go. If you're not, then maybe you don't need the cloud.
Another question on the webinar window here is the same question for data warehouse. Are we planning on supporting Optum Test Data Management for the IBM Workload Deployer?
Yeah, so let me take that. When we talk about the cloud, the number one use case that comes back is test systems. When we talk about the test systems, the number one requirement is I don't want to have my production data completely open and available to every tester and developer that I employ. So the way we deal with that is we do have Optum Test Data Management products that allow us to create test data sets, which are the, they provide a subset of the data and the data that is sensitive is mapped, so it's not exposed. So this is the number one requirement for us to make available. The actual availability, because of the way test data management is implemented, it is not necessarily going to be a virtual image of the test data management, but you're going to see something along the lines of patterns and white papers and the know-how implemented so you can deploy it using the IBM Workload Deployer and other cloud means. It is the number one requirement we have.
Okay, another question. And by the way, you got a thank you there, Leon. Another question that was asked, what would one deploy onto? I'm assuming that the question becomes, what am I deploying onto from the IBM Workload Deployer? So in the case of the workload patterns, we are looking at deploying on a virtual Linux environment, be a Red Hat flavor of that, Red Hat Enterprise. For the topology and image deployment, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Leon, we're looking at, again, a Linux environments, SUSE being one of them. The AIX PowerVM is another. The IBM Cloud at ca.ibm.com will be looking at other requests for other virtual deployments. Would you add anything to that, Leon?
No, this is correct. So in terms of images and patterns, those go into RHEL, and Leon's just finished publishing two RHEL images. So RHEL is Red Hat Enterprise Linux. We have SUSE images on the appliance already. We also have AIX images, and the one that a lot of people are interested in, but we'd like to find a very hard requirement, is the Z Linux, or Linux on System Z. So if you have a requirement for that, or any other images that you don't see, send us an email to imcloud@ca.ibm.com.
Sir, we do have a question in queue from the phones. It comes from Imran. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. I have a question. If you can briefly describe the cloud support model. I can understand that being client on the cloud, we can support the application, that are on the cloud or even the infrastructure, maybe DB2, for example. But what is the support model looks like from the cloud side, from the vendor side?
Right. So I'll take that. I guess the question you're asking is IBM support organization and how they treat your requests when the DB2 is deployed in the cloud, private cloud or public cloud.
That is correct.
Okay. So the answer to that is it is fully and completely supported. So when you purchase DB2, the license that we provide is not operating system specific or operating environment specific. So those of you who have purchased DB2 before know that when you get the product, you get media for installing in any operating system that we support. You know, Windows, Linux, AIX, HPUX, Solaris, and so on. So, and you're free to deploy in any of those as long as it's in the supported level. Exactly the same thinking applies to the deployment model, which can be bare metal, so this is on your own hardware, on the private cloud, as we've just discussed in this webinar, or on the public cloud, such as Amazon or IBM. So when you do call for support, you would have your normal IBM customer number that you would use for answering a question. Now, there's a second part to support that people are very interested in, which is patching or upgrading levels. So again, the way it is, as I was describing how we build images, we build them as hardened images at a very particular level. So for example, the images you'll find on the appliance, on the IWD appliance today, are at the level 9.7.3A and 9.7.4. And we fully realize that same applies for the operating system. The operating system has a certain level, has certain patch levels. So the way you can manage that is you can either wait for us to update the level to the patch to the fixed pack level that you need, and we will be doing that. Or, as I said, you can customize the images to be exactly the way you like them. So you would take an image, let's say it's 973A on SLES. You would create an instance of a server, so it'll be a running server. You would apply, maybe it's a special build that you have that we've provided to you, or it's a later fix pack. You would apply the fix pack to it or a special build, and you will save it back. And it's going to be on the appliance in the form that you have certified for your users to use. Hopefully I've answered the question.
Thank you, but I think the second part of the question was, I think I was not able to completely describe that, but how the for the cloud maintenance itself from the vendor side, are there any impacts on our SLAs as clients or customers?
Okay, so now you're talking about the public cloud as opposed
yes.
to... So, right, so when we talk about the private cloud, the maintenance of the cloud infrastructure is within the scope of responsibility of your IT job, so you do that. When it comes to the public cloud, there's two components to that. The software component, and that's the one we provide, and I think I've described what we do. Now, we do the same thing for the operating system, which is part of the software, so you would be patching the operating system to the level that you want and storing it back. Okay, just like we do with IWD, you store the images back. We do exactly the same thing in the public cloud with the IBM cloud and the Amazon cloud and with the right scale templates so you can patch and store. When it comes to the hardware, that is something that is between you and the cloud provider. That's something that IBM or we in DB2 really don't have a hand in. The cloud hardware components are provided to you, and the SLA, the service level agreement, are negotiated between you and a cloud provider. So it's whatever you've negotiated with Amazon, whatever you've negotiated with the IBM Smart Cloud Enterprise for your response rates, times for the cost and whatever that is, that is something we do not have control over.
All right. I think I have the answers. Thank you.
And we have no other questions from the phones at this time.
There is a question on the webinar. The question is as follows. Does this tool monitor the infrastructure capacity to decide where to deploy the created images? And I'll take a crack at that. the IBM Workload Deployer appliance is on version 3. It used to be named as the WebSphere CloudBurst appliance. And that technology offers an intelligent placement functionality. So not only do we monitor it and count the value units that are deployed into the cloud to help you keep track of your licensing, it also determines, based on a provisioning request, where the images go. So there is some intelligent placement on the IBM Workload Deployer, and so our database image deployment with the workload pattern for a database, it makes a request to the appliance, and from there it's intelligently placed into your private cloud based on the sizing requirements. I hope that helps.
Hi, this is Leon Petrozikas. I'm the developer for the topology or hypervisor images that we put together. I want to add that when you deploy these images, these patterns, your hypervisors are grouped into sets on the in the workload deployer, and the workload deployer will do some intelligence placement you have some additional control you can exercise over this by defining the environment profile at deployment time. And the IBM Workload Deployer will generally avoid placing too many parts, so machines of the same type, on the same hypervisor. Try to distribute them. That's it.
Okay, I think we've pretty much run out of time for taking any further questions and answers. I thank everyone, I thank the speakers, and I thank everyone of you for attending this call. And the recording of this webcast will be available on channeldb2.com in about a week or 10 days. So please check back on channeldb2.com or refer your colleagues to the site if they have missed the presentation. Thank you very much, and this concludes today's presentation.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.